Thank you very much, Mara and Glenn. Hopefully everybody can now see the slides. So yeah, very pleased really to get the chance to speak with everybody this morning. This first paper reflects on some issues with respect to getting traction for property environmental metrics within the all-important investment houses that will need to supply them. Given the issues that are still under active discussion within UNEP FI's property working group, I felt it was best to say that as yet these views are personal rather than any official property working group view. So in terms of the agenda today, I just want to have a look a little bit about the importance of metrics. Then I want to talk about three current issues for investors with respect to environmental metrics, and they will be proliferation and partiality, the potentially burdensome nature of some of the metrics that are around, and indeed the issue of relevance. Now I'll say a little bit about environmental metrics and property investment, and then just talk a little bit about where we think we're going to take the issue within the UNEP-FI Property Working Group. I think the first thing to say is just in everything that follows, I am aligned with the view that meaningful property metrics are central to the managing down of carbon emissions from the built environment, and that without them, then we neither know the state of current state of play nor the rate of progress that we might be making. So the old adage of you cannot manage what you cannot measure is something that is something that I hold to as I go through this presentation. So I mentioned the three potential areas of concern currently: proliferation and partial coverage, the potentially burdensome nature of some of the metrics and labelling schemes, and the relevance of some of the current environmental metrics to core investment processes. So I'd like now quickly to step through each of these three areas. I think the first area is this issue of proliferation, as Marin Glenn mentioned in his introduction there. I was informed in 2008 that having done a census, there was something like 180 building labelling systems in existence now around the globe. And my observation would be that they continue to multiply. In terms of proliferation, you know, within any jurisdiction, and the UK is certainly a case in point, there are a number of possible metrics, labelling, disclosure frameworks that one might choose from. I think they're probably across the globe, there are probably natural localised preferences, and certainly once these labelling systems get market traction, it's not surprising that there is a certain loyalty to them. But my observation would be amongst the uninitiated investment management community, there is confusion, which could lead to prevarication and procrastination in terms of measuring the environmental impact of their portfolios and taking issues forwards. I think the issue grows materially for global investors, and one of the features of real estate over the last 20 years is that it has become a globalized investment market. If an investor is having to deal with multiple metrics and labeling frameworks across the globe, it's difficult to report on whole portfolios. And within and across jurisdictions, if there are multiple reporting frameworks, the issue and the burden multiplies materially. I think a related point is the issue of partiality, and this might be an issue for policymakers as well. A lot of these labelling schemes relate to new build, and we know that new build is 1 or 2% per annum new stock in a mature market, so that's a very partial set of labels. Otherwise, they tend to be voluntary, and therefore, again, they are partial, and indeed one that is then led into understanding, well, what sampling framework do you actually have? And then in certain certain areas in across Europe, we have a sort of a transaction linked, a sale and a rental linked scheme of energy performance certification. Now, clearly, over time, more and more of the market will be included in that, but my guess is that the graph would be asymptotic and that some will still remain outside the scheme for considerable time. So I think for property investors, there's a desire for comprehensiveness where metrics can be there for whole portfolios and not just single assets, but there should also be some replicability, some comparability, and some transportability for these metric systems. And I'm pleased to be joined on the call today by Louise and Nicholas. I suppose there might be two routes to tackle some of these issues. One might be a top-down, bringing some sort of universal measures through global organisations, and SBCI are probably an example of that, but GRI might also be there. But I think the work of the Green Property Alliance here in the UK, looking at trying to find, the most common elements of metrics and promoting those as a basis for consolidation, is also a hugely valuable process. Just to make the point a little bit further, here is a list of the six barriers to adopting green practices in the real estate market. This is from INREV, which is a European organisation for unlisted pooled investment vehicles for property. And as you can see on the list there, number 5 out of 6 is that there are too many standards and definitions and a lack of common standards and benchmarks. A point I'll make later on, but I'll make it here as well because it seems relevant, is that at the end of the day, providing the metrics are robust in themselves and efficient to use and collect, investors should be relaxed about exactly which one they use. But I think as a community, we are looking to urge comparability, and we should also, from an action point of view, and indeed a potential policy point of view, be looking for comprehensive measures, by which I mean that we can cover whole markets and whole portfolios. I think the second thing to raise is the potential burdensome nature of property metrics. Some of the metric schemes that are around are heavy on data. Now, that's not a criticism in itself. These metrics systems were built typically by technical experts who have rightly felt the need to do the best that they can to get the right answer. So there's no implied criticism there. I think the issue from an investment perspective is simply that elephants don't go through cat flaps. If some of these codes are requiring 50 questions, 50 answers per property, that could struggle to gain traction in organisations with large portfolios. I mean, thinking about our own investment house, our biggest fund, our general account, our life fund, has 350 properties. If we have to answer 50 questions on each property to get comprehensiveness across that fund, that's 17,500 questions. I don't know whether my old friend Masato Ito is on the call, but if he is, it might be interesting to note and to hear from him as to what they're doing in Japan. The CASB system there, they're looking to do a stripped-down version, and as I understand it, some of that is to do with getting better traction. Then we run on to the third issue, which is one of relevance. Per se, environmental metrics don't necessarily excite investors. Investors have only rarely engaged in the technical exercise of definition, and I think that's probably why the investment community is now having to deal with something that's coming at them rather than something that they've been involved with. But clearly, environmental metrics are not the core activities for investors. Probably the exception is where environmental features and characteristics are reflected in ratings, where ratings are the easy or the lazy option to capture or assert the implications of environmental issues on price and asset performance. And so labelling becomes important to them. As I've said, providing metrics were robust, transferable and comparable and cheap to collect and supply, I think investors would be relaxed about the exact pedigree of them. But one of the universal, speaking as a researcher, one of the universal problems of any type of research is that if organizations are providing data that they don't immediately see the direct relevance of, it's always going to be a push, an uphill struggle to get them to supply it. And I think that does become an issue in trying to get investment organizations switched on to the provision of environmental metrics. So in this slide, I suppose I'm just, this was just a thought, one of the, I suppose, the lines of logic and battles that those of us who've been involved in this area for some time have tried to promote is that one has to be able for an investment organisation to hook into this issue to show some sort of commonality between fiduciary responsibility and social responsibility. And once you do that, you start to get traction. And I think we've done a lot of work in this field to show that managing portfolios responsibly is also doing well by doing good. Now, whether there's some sort of parallel to that in the metrics field where investment metrics would be all around present values, IRRs, internal rates of return, and those sorts of issues, and whether we have to think about not necessarily a replacement, but an additional set of environmental metrics that are drawn from or linked to or sit with the more normal forms or the more current forms of environmental metrics, but make more immediate sense and relevance to the day-to-day work of investment houses. UNEP SBCI have begun to look at some sort of economic metric. I wouldn't wish to dwell on this, but they had a really nice idea about a metric along the lines of dollars per square meter per annum for properties over the lifetime, sort of a life cycle metric. It's a nice idea, but of course you run into a whole raft of practical problems which are listed there. What's the lifespan of a building? There are all sorts of different reasons why a building finishes life or lasts longer than others. Who does the metric relate to? It could be generated by different reasons. So that's a nice start and a very provocative idea. But perhaps we, as I say, we need to find environmental metrics that link environmental performance with investment performance. Could that be something along the lines of, I mean, certainly the first one sub-bullet under the second bullet point there, levels of environmental performance linked to levels of investment performance, and there's certainly a lot of tough econometric analysis going on there, but that, that we will need a lot of data to prove those sorts of links. But musing on it, I just wondered whether there were other metrics that we should be starting to consider exploring, like the level of environmental improvement per unit cost, or the return, the IRR, the net present value, or the year's purchase, for instance, on investments in CO2 or water savings. I was in discussion with an organization yesterday. They were thinking about metrics about carbon intensity, kilograms of carbon dioxide per £1 million capital value. So there are some, I think there might be a need as we move forward to better link environmental and investment metrics. Very quickly to finish, certainly in terms of what the Property Working Group said at COP15, we're very keen to set aggressive standards in buildings, but also to harmonise and extend building labelling systems and harmonise carbon metrics. So going forward, the Property Working Group of UNEP-FI is going to look in 2010-2011 at what do responsible property investors want to use metrics for, what aspects of their operations do they need metrics on, and how should environmental metrics for property be constructed to increase their adoption and impact on the activities of property investors. So it does rather feel at the moment, and this is the fault of the investment community, not the metrics and technical community, is that property investors have tended to treat this and other issues to do with climate change and sustainability as technical issues, and have failed to see the relevance of them until these issues actually impose themselves on the work of investors. So it does rather feel in the metrics field that the bridge is being or has been built from one side of the river, and showing a wonderful picture of the bridge from my hometown of Middlesbrough in the north of England, we do need a bridge built from both banks, really, to ensure that we get the investment houses properly linked into this and supportive of providing these metrics. So that was a speculative paper. I'd be very interested to get reactions to that. And with that, Maren Glenn, I'll hand back and over to the next speaker.